In a few moments, you'll experience the live stream from LifePoint Church. I'm so glad that you're here to join us for that experience. At our church, our mission is to influence people to find and follow Jesus. We want to see people find Jesus, in other words, believe in him for their salvation. And then after that, we want to see those believers follow Christ in a life of wholehearted devotion. All of our energy and effort is put into serving you, helping you experience that. So maybe you're joining us from another part of the world or another state in the United States. We're glad that you're here. My encouragement to you would be wherever you are in the world, find a local body of believers to get involved with. Don't let this be your church alone. And then for those of you that are in our local area or maybe even part of our church family, perhaps some of you are on vacation or some of you have kids that are sick or for whatever reason you decided to stay in this weekend. And I would just invite you to consider not using our live stream as a substitute for the church experience. Make sure you're involved in community. We have the wonder of technology to take advantage of experiencing a service through computer and in our own homes, but that's not the church. I would invite you to come and be part of community. You can do that especially through small groups here at our church. I would invite you to get connected with people, share life together, be part of what God is doing in each other's lives. It's a very powerful thing. And then, of course, as you're watching via live stream, I would invite you to participate in the act of worship through giving. I would encourage you to go on to our website, lifepointchurch.us. There you can find a tab to click, and you can be a part of this experience through the giving of your gifts. My deepest prayer is that God would use the experience of this service to change you, to draw you closer to himself. I hope you enjoy this time together.
My name's John. I'm one of the pastors here on staff at LifePoint, and we're really excited to get into this today. We're in part 7 of our series called Relatable, and I'm really excited about this because I love people, and we're talking about community. So we're talking about something that really involves people. In this series, Relatable, we look at principles that God gives us in his word about how to relate better to other people. So how are we better able to relate to those around us? Because we're supposed to be in relationship to each other. So here's what I want to do to start us off, is I want to ask you a question, and I want you to be really honest, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, okay? So just get ready, stretch, prepare yourself mentally, whatever needs to happen. How many of you have ever tried to change something about yourself or do something a little differently to fit into a group of people? Have you ever? Okay, yeah, right on. We are all conformists. Okay, so, and if you didn't raise your hand, you're lying. So we've all, just kidding, but we've all done that, right? We've all tried to fit in. Now, why is that? Well, it's because we all want to fit in. We all want to belong. We all want that kind of connection with other people. We want to feel like we're belonging. We want to feel like we fit in somewhere. And so I started thinking about that a little bit, and I thought, man, when I started seminary, there were all these people that started dropping all these big names of like philosophers and theologians, and I had never heard of any of them, but I kind of pretended to know who they were so that I could sort of fit into the groups, like, oh yeah, I like that guy's theology, and I don't know what he's talking about. The same thing, people will talk about bands, and they'll say, man, do you like this band? Do you like this new album? Do you like this music? I'm like, oh yeah, they're great. I listen to them all the time, and I have no idea who they are, so I have to go home and look them up, you know? That we say stuff because we want to fit in, and we desperately want to connect with people. And the reason, I think, is because this concept of belonging and fitting in, it always involves purpose. Belonging involves purpose. There's always something deeper. So it's not just I want the physical presence of bodies around me. It's like I want to have a reason for being with these people. I want this purpose that drives what I do. So as I thought about that, I was like, well, purpose involves meaning, and if I belong to something, then my life has meaning. And there's a reason for being that's bigger than just me. And man, I really like that. Now, in church circles, we call that community, right? And some other areas call that too, but we call it community. We want this grouping of people with a purpose that's belonging, involving purpose. And here at LifePoint, we say our purpose is to influence people to find and follow Jesus. We want to see everybody find and follow Jesus, and we want to grow as Christ-like influencers so that we can then influence other people to find and follow Jesus. And part of being a Christ-like influencer is investing relationally. So how are we doing that? And if I'm honest with you, I think a lot of times I've hung out with people and I've connected with people, but I don't know if I've had the level of community where I think I want to have. I think I've had connection. I don't know if I've had real community in the sense that I want. So that's what I want us to think about today. Because as we think about community, I think there are two problems, two things that sort of keep us from getting to community. All right, and there are these two things. The first one is that we isolate ourselves, and the second thing is that we settle for poor substitutes, right? Don't we isolate ourselves? Do we do that? How many times have you seen somebody in a restaurant sitting across from somebody else and they're both on their cell phones, not looking at you, right? It happens all the time. There are those times when we use technology to disconnect from other people. There are times when we use social media to kind of build an alternate reality, and that's kind of where I live and dwell, but that's me disconnecting from other people. I'm isolating myself by withdrawing a little bit into that. Now here's the deal. It's not just technology though, and it's not just, I'm not anti new invention. The thing is a lot of times we use our knowledge to do that. I find there are a lot of times I've had conversations with people where they spit a lot of knowledge at me, but I don't know who they are, right? We can use knowing to keep from being known. We can use our knowing to keep ourselves at a distance from other people. And I think that's isolating, bless you. And I think, here's the thing, is as we consider what that means in our lives, we have to consider, are we doing that? Are we isolating ourselves? Are we withdrawing in some ways? And then also we want to ask, do we settle for poor substitutes? Do we settle for something that looks like community, feels like community, but it's not really what community should be? Now, some of you may know this. Earlier this month in Finland, I don't know how much you keep up with what's happening in Finland, but they had the World Championships of Heavy Metal Knitting. It's a real thing, look it up. And it's exactly what it sounds like, is people knit to heavy metal music. And there's a contest. USA came in third. And so here's the thing. It's a real thing, and I think, man, that's great, and those people are connecting around an interest, but is that fulfilling community? Is that really purposeful and giving life? I don't know. When I was in the 90s, I got really interested in documentaries and kind of learning about what's going on around the world. And I watched this documentary about gang culture. I was always into gangs, like not in a gang, but like interested in gangs. And I learned that there was this, the Crips and the Bloods gangs that started out in LA, in California, they moved across country and they infiltrated lots and lots and lots of different areas to the point where they got a really huge following in Little Rock, Arkansas. And I said, man, that's so weird. How did they make it all the way? What's the draw? Why are they, because these people are going to jail, these people are getting shot, these people are dying for their belief in this gang. And what happened is they would interview people who were in the gang, and they said, the reason we're in is because we want to feel loved and we want to feel like we belong. And man, when I'm in this group, I feel like I belong. And so I'm like, that's a poor substitute, because that's not fulfilling. That's not life-giving. So as I think about that, I wonder, I said, what if we have the wrong idea of what community is? What if we have the wrong idea about community? What if we think it's one thing, but it's something else? I think God gives us some real clarity around what community is and what it should be. So I want to invite you to open up your Bibles and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's where we're going to be today. We're going to look at verses 17 through 20, and I think we're going to start to see a little bit of Paul's answer to this question. It's like, what if we've been thinking about community wrong? We're going to see what community really could be here. If you have a Bible, I want to invite you to open it and follow along. You can scroll on your tablet or whatever. Just don't isolate yourself with it. But use that to focus. And we're going to put the words up here on the screen as well, the text up here on the screen. But if you don't have a Bible, I want you to know that we believe that this is God's word, and it's alive and it's powerful, and we want you to have it. So we have copies of the Bible for free for you right out here at the Welcome Center, and we would love for you to stop by the welcome desk, pick up a Bible, and just take it as our gift to you, because we want you to know God's word that sets people free. So let's read this together. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to be in verses 17 through 20. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." Now, because this is God's word and it's so powerful, I want to pray for our time just for a minute. Father, thank you for how good you are. And thank you for your truth and your word. I pray that as we dig into your word right now and we hear what it is that you want to say to us, I pray that you prepare us and that you would speak and that we would hear from you and you alone in this time. Make it clear what you want to speak to us. I commit our time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So in order to start talking about community, in order to really get into it, I want us to consider a definition, okay? Let's think about what community is, and then we can kind of operate from that. Now, I think there are a lot of different definitions out there. I'm not saying one's better than the other or whatever, but there's one that I found from a guy in Toronto. He's a management consultant, whatever that means. And he writes this definition not from a Christian perspective, but I think it really does apply when we see some connections between that and what Paul wrote and what we just read. So let's take a look at his definition. This is what he says. He says, "Community itself is an emergent quality. Community per se does not exist. It is a perceived connection between a group of people based on overlaps of intent, identity, interest, and experience." So basically what he's saying is that there's not really a community you can go like point the finger at and say, that's a community. It's the community is what the people perceive as being a part of because of these four overlaps that happen with intent, identity, interest, and experience. And what's really interesting is I read that and then I could see how there's connection between that and the passage we just read. And I actually heard somebody talk about that one time. And I thought it was really cool to see those pieces kind of pop out. So let's take a look back at 2 Corinthians 5 and kind of work our way through it and see where these pieces come out a little bit. So 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." Now look at that. Identity is an element of community, shared identity. And what Paul's saying here is he's saying, if anyone is in Christ, that's your new identity. You're a new creature. You're a new creation. If you're in this room and you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then you are a new creation, a new creature. You're in Christ. You have a shared identity with everyone else who's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So there's a unifying factor in this identity, right? Then you look at the next verse and he says, "Now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." There we have shared experience. So he's saying, not only are you all kind of coming from the same identity, but now you're coming from the same experience. You've all been reconciled. You were far off, but God made you right with him through Jesus. And then that gives us all the ministry of reconciliation. God bless you. When we see the mission that we're given there, it's that we're not just saved so that we can sit back and feel good about ourselves. We're saved so that we can then go and enter the ministry of reconciliation, all believers. So we have this shared identity, and we've all been given this assignment. We've all been reconciled. So we have this shared experience, right? Then look at verse 19. He says, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. The word of reconciliation, or the message of reconciliation, that's what we should be interested in. That's the interest that we should share. We should be saying, man, this is exactly what I'm all about, because I have this new identity and I've had this shared experience with other people, and now this is what I'm into. I am all about telling people this word, this message of reconciliation. And so because we have this shared identity, and because we have these shared experiences, and because we have this shared interest, now Paul says this in verse 20. He says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's the intent. That's the purpose of Christian community, that we would be together for the sake of being ambassadors for Christ and being seeing people be reconciled to God. Does that make sense? You follow? So here's what's going on. I want us to ask this question. When we think about our shared experiences and interests and intent, and when we our identity, when we think about those things, who is like you? Who is like you? When we think of community, a lot of times we think of people like us, right? Who's like you? And then why is that person like you? Why are those people like you? Because here's what I would say. I think a lot of times we would classify people as being like us based on appearance or based on background or based on agreement with a certain something, like, or interest in a certain thing. But here what Paul is saying is what supersedes all that, what's greater than all that, is this community of faith in Jesus Christ. And so I could say that, honestly, I have more in common from an eternal perspective. I have more in common with someone that I've never met in this world, who lives halfway around the world, but who's a follower of Jesus Christ, than I do with someone whom I've known my whole life and who doesn't follow Jesus. That's the perspective I think Paul starts to say. There's this deep, rich community. And here's where I want us to draw a distinction, all right? There's a difference between connection and community. Connection can bring people together, right? Connection can bring groups of people together. We can connect over all kinds of things. But community is always arranged around a purpose. There's always that purpose at the heart of whatever the community is. So what's the purpose? And where does it come from? Well, I think we see it in two places in Scripture that I want us to look at real quick. The first one is in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and God is creating the world. And as he's creating the world, look at what God says here. I think we catch something about his nature, and I think we catch something about who we are too. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. So there's one God who exists in three persons, and he's referring to himself in the plural, saying, let us do this. Why is that? Man, because God exists in perfect community. He is the perfect example of community. And then he says, I'm going to make people in my image. You're intended to be in community too. In that same way, just as God is in community, we should be in community. But community is always arranged around a purpose, right? So what's the purpose of Christian community? Well, I think we see it really clearly in the book of Isaiah in chapter 43. This is what he says. God says, everyone who's called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. Did you know you were made for God's glory? That's your purpose. That's the only thing that gives purpose and meaning to life in a way that is genuinely fulfilling. And when we pursue community with a different purpose, when we pursue community that doesn't have that as the purpose, then we're missing something and we're unfulfilled. But if we realize that God made us in his image and he's in perfect community, when you think about God himself, he exists for his glory, right? The Father glorifies the Son glorifies the Father, the Spirit's going to come to guide you into all truth so that the Holy Spirit will then glorify the Son. That it's all about the glory of God. God exists in community for the purpose of the glory of God, and then he makes us in his image so that we exist in community for the glory of God. That's the only thing that fulfills us. That's what we're made for. So what does that look like then? How do we do, okay, that's a great idea, the glory of God, but what does that practically look like? Like, what do I do with that? Well, we see that in a couple other places in Scripture. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, we see this church starting, right? Not this church, but we see the church, the big C church, right? Starting. And God has created this thing called the church. It's his plan for how people are going to show his glory in this world, how the community of faith is going to look. And so what he does is he creates the church and he says, these are the things that they're going to focus on. Look at what they do in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, these disciples were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They're constantly devoting themselves to this purpose because every one of those things listed there is all about the glory of God. We want to hear what the apostles have to say about him. We want to know who Jesus is. We want to connect with each other in a community that's going to be social but also focused on spiritual things. We want to break bread together. We're going to eat and do life together, but we're also going to break bread and share the Lord's table or the communion together. We're going to do those things, and we're going to pray for each other. We're going to pray together and draw closer to God. All that is for the glory of God. So the church exists for the glory of God. And then Paul, who wrote our passage in Corinthians that we read earlier, he says again in Philippians, check this out. He starts saying, well, you've got this shared identity. You've got these shared experiences. You've got this shared interest and intent, and you have these purposes that you're about now, the glory of God. This is what the church looks like. And he says, therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any fellowship, consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. That's what Christian community is supposed to look like. So we get that idea, okay, well, there's one purpose, it's for the glory of God, this is what the church should look like, and this is what we should look like, but what would it really look like if we did that? Well, all throughout the New Testament, there are lots of places where they call these verses the one another's. There are lots of verses that use the phrase one another, ways that we interact with each other. And these are instructions that are given to followers of Jesus saying, this is how you should treat one another. Because the way you treat one another is going to reflect the glory of God to the world. So I want you to hear lots of these verses. I read this and somebody thought it was a really long verse, but this is just, this is like 30-something different verses. But check out what God has to say in the New Testament about the way we should treat one another in a way that glorifies him in Christian community, all right? It says, be at peace with one another. Don't grumble among one another. Be of the same mind with one another. Accept one another. Wait for one another before eating communion. Don't bite, devour, and consume one another. Don't boastfully challenge or envy one another. Gently, patiently tolerate one another. Be kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving to one another. Bear with and forgive one another. Seek good for one another. Don't complain against one another. Confess sins to one another. Love one another. Through love, serve one another. Tolerate one another in love. Be devoted to one another in love. Give preference to one another in honor. Regard one another as more important than yourself. Wash one another's feet. Be subject to one another. Clothe yourselves in humility toward one another. Don't judge one another. Greet one another with a kiss. We don't do that a whole lot. Husbands and wives, don't deprive one another of physical intimacy. Bear one another's burdens. Speak truth to one another. Don't lie to one another. Comfort one another concerning the resurrection. Encourage and build up one another. Stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Pray for one another. Be hospitable to one another. Man, could you imagine what the church would look like if we got that? If we got like just two of those and did them consistently. Man, things would be radically different. That is what glorifying God in community looks like. So I want to ask you the question again. I've hung out with lots of people. I don't know if I've had this kind of community. Have you? Have you experienced that? Maybe you have. And I know I have in some glimpses and pieces of it, but I long for it deeply because it's what we're made for. And it's the only thing that fulfills us because it's community that's arranged around a purpose. And that's why God makes us. See, ultimately, we think we want community. We think we want this community, but what we're really chasing is purpose. What we're really chasing is, why am I here? What's the meaning of this that gives me fulfillment? That's what we're about. So this reminds me, a picture that kind of helps me think of this is a picture of redwood trees. I don't know if you know much about redwood trees. I don't know much at all. I'm not any kind of arborist or anything. But what I've learned is that the tallest tree in the world is a redwood tree. It's called Hyperion. It's 379.7 feet tall. And it's a really big tree. And redwoods are known for getting huge and really, really strong and tall, and they last long. They live a really long time. And I thought, oh man, these trees must have really deep roots. And then you go learn. Their roots only go down about like 5 or 6 feet. But their roots spread out about 100 feet. And they connect with all the other redwoods in the area. And then the roots intertwine, and they start to form a root system together, and they share nutrients, and then they hold each other up, and they support each other. And then storms come, and winds come, and rains come, and floods come, but the trees stand because they're supporting each other in community. Doesn't that sound like something we want to be a part of? I would love for the church to look just like that. I would love for that. I would love for us to stop seeking purposeless connection and start living for purposeful community with the purpose of God's glory. So I want us to do two things. I want us to get a purpose, and I want us to get together. I want us to get a purpose and get together. We need to understand that God gives purpose. And I hope you're hearing this in this room. If you're here and you've never trusted Jesus and you've never put your faith and trust in him, that all you have to do is put your faith in Jesus, and then he welcomes you into relationship with him that we can't get to on our own. He creates this way for us to have right relationship with God, and it's through Jesus Christ, but it's nothing we do. It's all what he has done. And so that's what we celebrate as a community. But if you're here and you have trusted Jesus, and you have done that, you put your faith in him, man, this is the kind of community we should be living for. Don't settle for a poor substitute. Don't pick something that isn't fulfilling. Man, live for what God created us for his glory, his picture. Now, I love when things align here at LifePoint, because we really try to be intentional about all these things. And what we did all throughout the month of July, we've been talking about leading a group and changing a life, and how important it is to be a part of leading a group and changing a life. And we really want you to do that. We want you to be involved in group leadership because we need that. But starting in August, we've got a new campaign coming up, and it's called Join a Group. Because we want you to be a part of leading a group. Yes, we want you to be in a group and leading it. But man, we want you to join a group. Find this kind of community. Find this kind of connection with other people that goes beyond purposeless connection and gets into purposeful community that exists for the glory of God. So let's get a purpose and get together around that purpose and glorify God in the way our community functions. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you that you call us to purposeful community and not just purposeless connection. God, thank you that you don't leave us without fulfillment or without direction or without purpose, but you give us a plan to be fulfilled in exactly what you created us for. The same community that you experience and you exist in, you call us to be a part of that community and to honor you in the way that we live in community that reflects that. We are your image bearers here on earth. May we show an accurate picture of who you are in the way that we love each other in community. So we love you, God, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Now, here is what we get to do as a community, is we're going to take communion together right now. And when we take communion, we remember there's nothing magical or special about the bread or the juice or any of those things. These are simply elements that we take to remind us of the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. Because community with God is what fulfills us, because community with others reflects that fulfillment and then fulfills us further with purpose, we celebrate communion. Because it's a way for us as a community to recognize and remember that Jesus' death on the cross is what paid the price so that we could have that community to begin with. So here's what I want to challenge you to do is when we start playing this song, I want you to pray about it, to pray about where you are. And if you're a follower of Christ, we want you to come down. We want you to take some bread. We want you to take some juice. And we've got stations all around the room. And I want you to go to those stations and then take the elements and hold them, okay? And then take them back to your seat. Don't munch on the way back to your seat, okay? Hold on to those things and then sit back down and pray about it and think about what God has done. Remember the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ and celebrate that. And then after this song, we're all gonna take it together at the same time. So hold it, wait for it, and then we'll all take it together after that song. Let me pray real quick. Father God, thank you for this concept of communion. When we get to celebrate what you've done, I pray that this time would be meaningful and significant as we celebrate your sacrifice on the cross and how that gives us the community that you intend for us to have. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.